know, sometimes that is what we need. Revive us again. Amen. No matter how long we walk with the Lord, there's times we just need a fresh touch, a fresh encounter with the Lord that blesses us and causes us to be a blessing to others. We're so glad that you've chosen to join us today as we serve the Lord, as we study His Word, as we sing on this website. And I pray that wherever you are, the Lord is blessing you, the Lord's encouraging you, the Lord's lifting you up, the Lord is indeed reviving you with His precious Holy Spirit. Father, as we bow before you today, thank you for every blessing of life. Thank you for life itself. But most of all, Father, we're grateful for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you that He loved us so much that He died on the cross that we might be forgiven of our sin and have eternal life. Father, we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit who comes and instructs us, encourages us, gives us peace, comes alongside of us and fills us with the love of Jesus. Now, Father, as we study your word, we pray that through the music and the word, that Jesus will be honored and glorified and that lives will be changed. Lord, I know that it's not my words that change people, but it's the words of the Holy Spirit. It's God speaking to deep down into their hearts. And Father, may we have ears to hear what you're saying. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. Let's do our hymn sing for today. You know, I believe in the old hymns of the church. I really do. I think we should never forget them. Now, we do other music here, as we obviously do, but I also like to remember the good old hymns of the church. And here's one for us today. Praise Him, praise Him. Brenda?
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, for our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Right.
morning. It's Sunday, August the 16th, and we'll have a few announcements for you. First, there'll be a call conference on August the 23rd. That'll be next Sunday. The purpose of the call conference will be to elect messengers to the Stanley Montgomery Association. Also, we will be electing two new members of the Building and Grounds Committee. We will be observing the Lord's Supper communion on Sunday, August the 30th. We'll be doing it a little bit differently this time around, but we'll be also doing it safe. So be here for that. We're looking forward to having communion here at this church again. We will also be continuing having the services as usual. We'll have the webcast, which you're listening to today. We'll continue with the webcast and also the parking lot service starting on Sunday morning at 9. So those two services we will continue to, otherwise advised. We also have announced a special support for the Otis Goins Memorial Fund. Offering will be next Sunday, August the 23rd, or you can give today if you wish. Just mark your envelopes and put the money in the designated area there in that area. All right, and that's all the announcements I have. I now would like to call your attention to the prayer request that we have before us. First, I want us to remember Jeff Keplinger. Jeff is experiencing some blockage in the arteries in his legs. He is going to be having more tests Monday to make sure he doesn't have any more blockages before they fix the blockage. So let's be much in prayer for Jeff. We're hoping and praying, and I believe God's going to answer the prayer that the situation will be something that we can do outpatiently, and he'll be fine. I want us to remember Wendell Talley. Continue to remember Wendell. We've got a praise report for him. David tells us that his heart did go back to beating better, and so we'll praise God for that. We also remember Bertie Hatley. Continue to remember Miss Bertie as she's almost homebound. Let's remember her, and that God will give her good health and give her courage. Remember Tony. Keep remembering Tony as he is still having some problems. Kathy High, let's continue to lift up Kathy as well. And let's also remember the children that will be going back to school and all the teachers that will have to do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, I thank you, Lord, for this special day you've given us. Lord, I thank you for a time that we can come together. Our team is here today, Lord, to present your word, both in song and in God's gospel. Lord, we thank you for the team who is assembled, and we ask a special blessing upon them as we do this website service today. And then, Lord, as we think about things going forward, we ask that you would be with Barbies Grove Baptist Church and be with all of us as we deal with the problems that we're faced with the coronavirus. But, Lord, we pray for safety. And we pray, Lord, for your touch and for your guidance. Lord, as we remember those who have been asked for special prayer today, want to lift up Jeff Keplinger to you, Lord, as he will be going through tests Monday, as he's dealing with artery blockage in his legs. And we pray, Lord, for a good report there. We also give a praise report for Brother Wendell Talley, as his heart is beating back better now, and we pray for that. Happy, Lord, to report that. We lift up Miss Bertie Hatley to you today, Lord, and as she's home and homebound, we pray for her. Ask, Lord, that you continue to bless Brother Tony, Lord, as he convalesce and getting better each day. And then Kathy High, we pray for her and the test that she is going to be going under. But, Lord, as the children prepare to go back to school, Lord, it's going to be different for them, be different for the teachers. It'll be stressful. And, Lord, we pray for them especially, Lord. And we lift them up to you, each and every one. We pray for the leaders. We pray for your guidance. And, Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our president. We pray for all those who make a decision. And then, Lord, as we go forward today in this service, we pray now, Lord, and we lift up Brother Ed to you. And Pastor Ed, as he comes before us today and preaches to us, we thank you for him and we ask that your blessing today. All the things, Lord, that is going to happen today, we lift up it to your name and give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. Amen. For our special music today, I'm going to ask the quartet to sing. Sing a good old convention song. It's a happy song, and I think you'll enjoy it. It says, "When God's Chariot Comes."
God's old chariot coming in the morning, oh, that wonderful day. Grand old chariot come without a warning, take His people away. I'll be standing there at the station waiting for it. I'm going home, I'll roll away when God's chariot comes.
I'll roll away
when God's chariot comes.
Some happy day
I am going home,
leaving this world of sin and sorrow, riding in the chariot, glory, hallelujah.
I'll roll away when God's chariot comes. Oh, where will you be when the day is dawning? Oh, that wonderful day. Brother, will you be found among the morning and be driven away? They'll be crying in the rocks and mountains, what will be your doom? I'll roll away when God's chariot comes.
I'll roll away
when God's chariot comes.
Sin and sorrow, riding in the chariot, glory, hallelujah.
I'll roll away when God's chariot comes.
I'll roll away
when God's chariot comes.
Some happy day
I am going home,
leaving this world of sin and sorrow, riding in the chariot, glory, hallelujah.
I'll roll away when God's chariot comes.
Let's go back to the book of Nehemiah. We were there last week. And as we were there last week, you remember the children of Israel had returned, some of them from exile, and they had a problem. The problem was that the walls of Jerusalem were torn down, and that made the people vulnerable to enemy attacks. And because of that, they were discouraged, they were dispirited, sort of living in a depressed and low state. And of course, last week we looked at how Nehemiah came and under the presence of the Lord and commitment, in less than 2 months, the walls were built, the gates were hung, and the enemies were very angry and very upset, but God got the glory because they recognized God was in the project. Well, not only were these folks having a problem with the walls down, they were also having a spiritual problem. You would think that after spending some time in captivity and then being able to go back to their beloved homeland, the beloved promised land, that they'd want to serve the Lord with all of their hearts. But perhaps whatever it was, they had gotten away from the Lord. And maybe that describes some of us today. Now, I hope that you'll read the entire book of Nehemiah. If not, you'll just have to take my word for some of the problems that these folks were encountering and some of the spiritual difficulties that they were having. They were consorting with the enemies of God. They were spending time with the devil's crowd instead of God's crowd. They had intermarried with the heathen women or the heathen people from surrounding nations. We might think, well, you know, that doesn't apply to us today, but in Corinthians we read about being not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And as a pastor, over 50 years, I've seen so many sad situations where a godly young man or a godly young woman doesn't heed that warning, and they end up marrying an unbeliever. And before long, that unbeliever has pulled them away from the Lord. Another problem that they had is they were oppressing their fellow believers. Another, they had neglected the Word of God. They had neglected the worship of God. They were desecrating the Lord's day and the Lord's house. All of these were symbolic of the fact that their hearts were not where they should have been, and their lives followed their hearts. Nehemiah got the walls built, and now we read that Ezra, the scribe, came to help them with the spiritual problem. Now you remember there's a whole separate book of Ezra. And if you read Ezra and Nehemiah together, you get a feel for the entire transaction, the entire situation, and how it all fit together. And I hope you will take time just to sit down and read Ezra and Nehemiah. Neither one of them are very long, and it'd be just a blessing to you. The very first thing that happened in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, says, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday, before the men and women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Here's the beginning of revival, when we focus once again on what thus saith the Lord. What does God's word say? And I don't know whether Nehemiah or Ezra called this assembly or it's just arose out of the hearts of the people. But they got together in this plaza, this special place there in Jerusalem, and they said to Ezra, bring the word of God to us and read it to us. Now, we think we were doing something unique with our parking lot services. We've been doing it for, what, 2 months now or so? Three, four? Hey, this is 2,800 years ago. They were doing parking lot services, in a sense. They gathered in a broad place to hear the word of God, and they were outside as they heard it. They made that step to hear the word of God. And notice, men and women, anybody that was old enough to understand, and they saturated their minds with the word of God. And notice that he said he read it from morning until midday. So I can imagine that was at least a 3 hour period of, say, 9 to 12 when he read the word of God to the people. And verse 5 also says something very interesting. When Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. In other words, they built him a little platform to be on. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. They weren't sitting in comfortable lawn chairs. They weren't sitting in an air-conditioned building on padded pews. They stood up for 3 solid hours to hear the word of God. Now, that's somebody that's hungry to hear the word of God. For us in America, that would be a shock. That'd be unusual. But I've seen videos and pictures of folks in India and Pakistan and Africa where they come and stand for 2-3 hours. Hundreds of thousands just to hear the word of God preached and sung. Folks that are hungry for the word of God, the conditions don't matter nearly as much as the fact that I'm hearing a precious word of God. And you know, it takes reverence for the word of God to listen that long, to want to understand. Now in verse 7, there's a bunch of fellows whose names I won't begin to try to pronounce. You get your Bible out and you look at those names and you have a go at it and just see what you come up with. But notice it says at the last of verse 7, the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand their meaning. Evidently, there were some times when Nehemiah would stop and these various men would gather little groups around them and explain it more completely. They knew more about the law. They were Levites. They knew more about the law. They knew more about the Word of God. And because of that, they were able to explain to the people more fully, more distinctly, what they needed to hear. And, you know, today we've got Sunday school teachers, we've got pastors, we've got Bible teachers, evangelists, that do the very same thing. There's always more that we can learn from the Word of God. And I just get a joy and an enlightenment from listening to other men and women who have studied the Word of God and who preach and teach the Word of God. And I listen to them and I think, well, I never remember seeing that verse before. And I don't remember putting those two verses together or that passage together. And yet God has enlightened them through the Holy Spirit and He uses that to bless me. And so you be blessed as you listen to various teachers of the Word of God. But the whole point is, here was a people whose hearts were hungry. They were hungry to hear from what God had to say. They were hungry to know the Word and the will of God. And they were excited about having somebody make it plain to them. And I'm glad that men and women, you know, a lot of folks think back in Bible days it was just the men. But it says the men and the women were allowed to participate in this service. And verse 13, it says, on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests of the Levites, and Ezra the scribe, even to understand the word of the law. In other words, it was not just a one-time thing. They came back another time to hear more of what God was saying. Now, the Bible says that the Word of God will not return void, but will accomplish the purpose for which it's sent. So it's very interesting to see what happened as a result of these folks being saturated with the Word of God. In the last part of verse 9, after it talks about these teaching the people, they said to the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of God. You know, God's word convicts us of sin. God's words convicts us not sometimes of overt sin, but of just things we haven't done. I remember as a child going to the prayer meetings at West Albemarle, and some of the old timers would get up and pray, and it seemed like to me one of the favorite expressions that some of them would use is, Lord, forgive us of our sins of omission and our sins of commission. Lord, there's some things we just didn't do. Forgive us. And there's some things we did that were wrong. Lord, forgive us. And so these people were heartbroken over the fact that they had sinned. Then in chapter 9, verse 2, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all the strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Here was a conviction of sin, confession of sin, of repentance. It's amazing how sometimes the Lord leads us to a place where we have to have our hearts clean before we feel refreshed spiritually. I mean, you know, in the natural, you go out and spend a few hours mowing the lawn, raking leaves, digging in the dirt, and you feel dirty and tired, and you come in and take a nice shower, and suddenly you feel so much better and so much more refreshed. And it's the same spiritually. Sin can allow us to feel dirty and tired, and then we go into the Word of God, and the Word of God refreshes us and makes us feel clean. And then in verses 14 through 18, and they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities in Jerusalem, saying, go forth into the mount, fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of fig trees to make booths, it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, everyone on the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the courts of the water gate and the dent and the street of the gate of Ephraim. Now remember, children of Israel had lived in tents for 40 years in the wilderness. And building these booths out of sticks and living in them for a few days was a reminder of God's deliverance, of God's salvation, of how God had worked in their lives, in the lives of their ancestors so many hundreds of years before. And God had told them to do this on a regular basis so that they would never, never forget how precious the Lord had been in delivering them from slavery and bringing them into a place of freedom, into the land of milk and honey. But evidently they hadn't done it for years. This generation may have never even heard about it. I mean, after all, they'd been off in captivity. And when they found out this is something that God asked them to do, they were obedient. As we study the Word of God, it always touches our heart, and it always should lead to obedience. To read the Word of God and to hear the Spirit of God whisper in our hearts, do this, don't do this, do that, don't do the other. Disobedience to that is sin, but obedience to that is a blessing. And so they were obedient and did exactly what should have been done. And then verse 18 of chapter 8, also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. 7 days these people got together to study the Word of God and to hear the Word of God. Now what happens when we get our hearts right with God? What always happens when you get your heart right with God? Well, verse 6 says, Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. They bowed their heads. They worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They worshiped. Getting close to God always brings worship. Always brings worship. They lifted their hands. They bowed their heads. They put their faces toward the ground. And they worshiped God. They worshiped the Lord. One of the ways of telling we're backsliding is when we cease to worship. Or our worship becomes blah, humbug, lackadaisical, boring. Real worship is an encounter with a living God. And these people had encountered God in a fresh new way, and they were worshiping. And then, as a result of the worshiping, there was some real joy. Verse 10 says, He said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweets, and portions unto them which whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Gladness and joy. In the last part of verse 17, and there was great, very great gladness. You worship the Lord. You get your heart right. You worship the Lord. And the joy overflows. The joy overflows. The joy overflows. What a transition. Here was a group of people that were in a messed up situation. And suddenly Ezra comes. He begins to share the word of God. They're attentive to the word of God. They're willing to hear the word of God. And as they hear the word of God, it begins to make a difference. It makes a difference in their and they begin to deal with the sin of their life. They begin to deal with their relationship with the Lord. They begin to obey the Lord. And out of that, there comes great worship and great joy. Great joy. And did you catch, I hope it's one of your favorite verses, the last part of verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy is one of the characteristics of spirit-filled believers of all ages. Now, happiness can come or go, but joy is something deep down inside that it doesn't matter about the situation. You think about the Apostle Paul, how many times he was beaten and shipwrecked and everything else, but yet Paul keeps writing, the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice again. Rejoice always. Again I say rejoice. Over and over and over, Paul just talks about having joy in the Lord. There's something deep down inside that whenever you know that you know that you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. You know, Paul had that attitude. If they kill me, I'm going to go be with Jesus. If they let me live, I'm going to keep preaching and I'm going to keep glorifying Jesus. It didn't matter. Paul had a joy. And you can have that joy. You can walk in that joy. You can experience that joy. You can let that joy overflow. There's some precious Christian believers I know around the world that are so full of the joy of the Lord. There's one lady in Oklahoma. And she and my wife, when they get together, it's hilarious. I remember one Christmas we went with a group from the church to a nursing home and sang. Now I just mouthed the words they sang. And there was a big group. And so then afterwards, Pam and I and the lady was riding with us, we all went to an IHOP. And the joy of the Lord between those two ladies was so that I think the waitress probably thought I was off with two drunks. I mean, these girls were so full of the Lord, so full of joy, that it was just precious. And it's usually that way when the two of them get together. The joy of the Lord just overflows. And the joy of the Lord gives us strength to endure, to witness, to love, to forgive, to serve. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And joy is not something to be ashamed or embarrassed about. For often you can, when they say, well, why are you so full of joy? It's because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. I'm so full of joy because I know that my sins are forgiven and I experience the presence of Jesus. And you see, that's what happened to those folks in Ezra and Nehemiah's day. They went from a depressed, backslidden condition to folks who were just full of the joy of the Lord. And that gave them the strength to go on. In a sense, revival came. And genuine revival always brings joy. I encourage you today, get into the Word of God. Allow it to convict you, to strengthen you, to encourage you. Walk closely with the Holy Spirit and allow His joy to fill you. And notice there it says, it's the joy of the Lord. It's His joy. It's not something you manufacture. It's something that He plants or transplants into you as you walk with Him. And when we do that, it makes a difference in our attitude and our way of living, but it sure gives us a great avenue of testimony. It enables us to survive the COVID and every other problem that comes this way because we walk not in our strength, but in His strength and in His joy. Father, I pray today that if there's one listening that does not know the joy of the Lord, does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that he or she will just at this moment confess, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died, that he rose again, and I receive him as my personal Lord and Savior. I confess him as my Lord and Savior. And Lord, if there's one that's discouraged, and Lord, I just pray that you'll be able to encourage them, lift them up. Lord, fill them with your joy. Fill them with your presence. May they know that they know that they know I'm with the Lord. I'm a winner because I'm on his team and he's for me. Lord, thank you that when happiness goes, joy can still remain. Thank you that in troubled times, there can still be joy. Father, if Paul could and Silas could have joy after being beaten and thrown in the stocks in the innermost prison in Philippi, surely we can have joy today in our trying situations. So Lord, teach us how to rejoice. Teach us how to keep walking with you. Teach us how to be encouraged. And Lord, we thank you so much that we don't have to manufacture that joy on our own. We just receive it from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.